Part 4. Chapter 32. Paris, France, November 2009. The Simon Wiesenthal Centre in the Rue Laugier was located in a four-storey brick building opposite the narrow Rue Galvani, a stone-faced ground floor with access through an arched doorway. An equally stone-faced Gerard Cohen met Enzo in the entrance as arranged. He was a small man, clutching a large leather briefcase, and was completely bald. He had a lined, almost wizened face and small, black, suspicious eyes. He wore a dark blue suit that had seen better days. Enzo noticed how under the jacket the cuffs of his white shirt were frayed. His collar was crumpled, and his tie too tightly tied. He had a small, neatly trimmed silver moustache above two full lips that were purple and shiny wet. Enzo thought that he must be at least 75. He shook Enzo's hand with a firm but brief grip. Enzo reached for the door to hold it open for him, but he shook his head.
"I no longer have an office here, monsieur."
He nodded along the street toward the Café Liberté on the far corner of the Rue Guillaume Tell.
"But you can buy me a drink."
He walked with quick, shuffling steps along the street, almost running, and Enzo had to work at keeping up with him. It was still dry in Paris, and mild, but a leaden sky presaged the coming rain that Enzo's train had earlier outrun. They passed the Sri Ganesh Indian restaurant with its maroon canopies and crossed the street diagonally to the opposite corner, provoking a flurry of car horns. Cohen took a seat by the window and Enzo slipped into a chair opposite. The café was also a tabac and sold lottery tickets, and so there was a constant stream of clients. It was noisy, customers barracking at the bar, the rumble of diesel engines out in the street, and the tinny, wasp-like buzz of motor scooters whizzing past. Ideal for an exchange of confidential information. The place smelled of old alcohol and fried onions, but the smokers stood out on the sidewalks these days, so they were spared the fog. Enzo could see from the nicotine stains on his fingers that Cohen was also a smoker. He could smell the stale smoke that clung to his clothes, but wasn't certain if it was the enforced abstinence from cigarettes or some deeper insecurity that made him so nervous. The one-time Wiesenthal investigator kept glancing from the window toward the Quincaillerie Droguerie opposite, as if there might be someone watching them from across the street. He constantly interlinked and unlinked his fingers on the table in front of him. Enzo felt unsettled by his apparent edginess.
"Is there any reason for us to be concerned about meeting like this?" he asked. "Not that I know of, monsieur. But there are usually eyes on us."
Enzo frowned.
"Whose eyes?" "The Nazis."
The word rolled off his tongue almost casually. Enzo nearly laughed.
"Surely those days are long gone. The people you went after following the war are dead or too old to be a threat." "Yes, but there is a new generation, monsieur, and they regard the people we hunted as heroes, and those who hunted them as vermin to be exterminated."
The barman came to their table and they ordered beers. Cohen fixed him with a penetrating stare.
"So, how can I help you?"
"You know how you can help me. I want to know what you and Adam Killian wrote about in your exchange of letters, why he came to see you,